This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Ahzab, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. A very famous and incredible ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us in brief who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in relation to ourselves. He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ, indeed there was and there is always the best of example for you in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he's a role model and an example in everything of how a father is supposed to be. The best example is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How a leader is supposed to be, the best example is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in all facets and fields of life, the best example is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what I wanted to share with you tonight is what I consider a very beautiful, emotional, amazing and remarkable, incredible story of compassion and love and mercy that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed. And this is a very, very special story because it is a story that is directed and tied into the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the story of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab, with her husband Abu al-Aas. And even we'll be seeing in this story how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very expressive in his love to his wife, alayhi salatu wassalam. So this story, without further ado, I begin with this story. It begins with a man, and his name is Abu al-Aas ibn al-Rabi'. Abu al-Aas was a man from among the men of Quraysh. He was a wealthy man, he was a businessman, he was very noble, honored and respected among Quraysh. Quraysh trusted him so much that they would invest their wealth with them. And he used to lead the caravans to Asham. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, إِلَى فِيهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, that Quraysh in Mecca, they used to have two travels, one in winter and one in summer. In summer, they used to take about 100 camels with almost 200 men, and they would go to Asham, spend a few months over there. They would go shopping and they'd buy things, and then they'd come back to Mecca and they'd sell it to the people. Abu al-Aas, he was the leader of this caravan, and he was a very famous businessman among Quraysh, and he was very highly trusted and respected, and the people would invest in his business. So Abu al-Aas radiallahu anhu, how is his relation to Khadija radiallahu anha? Abu al-Aas is the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha, and Khadija is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marries Khadija at the age of 25. And she gives birth to all of his children except Ibrahim. She gave birth to the oldest of them, which is Zainab radiallahu anha. After her came Ruqayya, and then Kulthum, and then Fatima radiallahu anhunna ajma'in. And he also had two boys from her, who were Al-Qasim and Abdullah. And so, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is married, and she gives birth to Zainab, and Zainab grows, and now she is of marriage age, and she is willing, and she is ready to get married. And all the men of Quraysh want to get married to Zainab, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because obviously her father is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her mother is Khadija radiallahu anha. So Abu al-Aas radiallahu anhu, when he knew that Khadija is ready for marriage, when he knew that Zainab is ready for marriage, he approached the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I want to get married to my cousin, which is your daughter Zainab. So he said to him, okay, you're a noble and respected man, and you're a man of great quality and character, but I cannot get you married to Zainab, my daughter, unless I seek her permission. Yusuf, subhanAllah, the Arabs, even before Islam, had this understanding that you don't just throw your daughters to whoever she wants or she doesn't want, that you're supposed to seek her permission before she gets married to anyone. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as much as he loves Abu al-As, he said to him, wait, I need to go and seek her permission. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters upon Zainab and he says to her, oh my daughter, your cousin Abu al-As is interested and he wants to get married to you. He asks for your hand. Do you want to get married to him? So she turned red and she was full of modesty and shyness and she didn't say anything, and that was like an approval of hers. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to Khadija, his wife, and he said, I think Zainab now, she's ready to get married to Abu al-As. And yani, the marriage happened. Abu al-As got married to Zainab, and now Abu al-As is the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And during the night of the marriage, Khadija radiallahu anha wanted to gift her daughter Zainab something. So she had a necklace. She took this necklace off and she gifted it to Zainab. This was the most expensive thing that she owned, and this was very dear to her heart. She gifted it to her daughter Zainab radiallahu anha on the night of her marriage. And years go by, and Abu al-As, as usual, he travels a lot. He was on travel this time. And the time he was on travel, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been appointed the final messenger. He becomes the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's given some ayat from the Quran, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, and he's commanded by Allah to go and preach first to his relatives. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, Allah says. All of this time, and Abu al-As is still overseas. He's still in Asham in trade. He's got no idea what's happening in Mecca. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes first to Khadija and is shaking and shivering and frightened by just what had just happened with him at the cave of Hira. And he explains to his wife Khadija the message, and she doesn't hesitate and she accepts Islam. And she was from among the first women. And Khadija radiallahu anha quickly goes and she gathers her four daughters and she explains to them Islam. And of course, with no hesitation, they were immediate to accept Islam and accept their father as being the final prophet sent to mankind. So Islam was being spread, and after a few months, Abu al-As arrives from travel and he gets into Mecca. And Zainab is waiting for him at home. She gets up and she is very excited. And as soon as he enters the door, she says, I have very good news and good exciting news for you. So he's worried what kind of news this is. He begins to walk away. And she follows him. She says, what's wrong? Why are you walking away? He says to her, I fear that it's some news I won't accept. Maybe it's too hard and difficult upon me. She says, no. She says, the news is that my father has been sent and appointed as a final messenger. And the good news is that I accepted my father and believed in him, and I'm inviting you also to Islam. So he got angry. And he said to her, why did you take that move? And why did you accept Islam? Why didn't you ask me before you did that? She said to him, I wasn't going to lie, my father. I wasn't going to lie against him. He's as-sadiq al-ameen among Quraysh. He's the most trusted and most noble and honest among Quraysh. And add to that, my cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib has accepted Islam. And your cousin Uthman ibn Affan has accepted Islam. And your best friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu has accepted Islam. And all my sisters and my mother have accepted Islam. So I thought I'll accept Islam without seeking your permission. So he calms down, he enters the house, and he says to her, Ya Zainab, please understand and give me an excuse. Excuse me and understand me. I don't want to accept Islam because if I did, my people, Quraysh outside, will say, look, he left the idols and he left the religion of his forefathers so he can please his wife. And I can't do that right now because of the grand position I have in Quraysh. I'm not ready for that. And he said to her, I'm not accusing your father of anything, but please understand me. She said, and if I don't understand you, and if I don't give you an excuse, who other than me is going to understand you and excuse you? She said, but I will remain insisting upon you to accept Islam. And subhanAllah, she kept her word for 20 years, as you'll see in the story. So she said, okay, I'm going to still be loyal to you. I still love you. You're my husband, and I'll remain with you, and I'll keep inviting you to Islam. And he had no objection with her in her to embrace Islam and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the guidance that her father has been sent with. And during this time, Zainab radiallahu anha gave birth to two beautiful children. She gave birth to a boy, his name was Ali ibn Abu al-Aas, and she also gave birth to a daughter, her name was Umama bintu Abi al-Aas. And so a few years go by, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is commanded and he's given permission to migrate from Mecca to Medina. And during this entire time, Abu al-Aas is still upon his disbelief. And so when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is preparing to go and he's preparing to migrate from Mecca to Medina, Zainab radiallahu anha, his daughter, she rushes to her dad and she says, oh father, would you please give me permission to remain back in Mecca with my husband and my children? It's very tough for me. Where am I going to go? Abu al-Aas, my husband, he's still a disbeliever. He's not going to follow us to Mecca. And I can't separate from him and my children because of the love I have for my family. So would you understand that? Would you give me permission to remain back? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to his daughter Zainab, stay back with your husband and your children. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he migrates, he leaves Mecca, and he enters Al-Madinah. A few years go by, and the first and greatest battle of Islam is about to happen. And this is Ma'rakat Badr, the Battle of Badr. And from Mecca, Quraysh left. They came out with 1,000 men. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he only had 313 companions with him. And who left with Quraysh? The husband of Zainab, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu al-Aas. You see, the disbelief that was still in his heart, he was even willing to go and fight against his own father-in-law. So he joins the army of the mushrikun, and he goes until they reach the plains in the field of Badr. And during this time, these were the worst days upon Zainab radiallahu anha. She would wake up and she would make dua to Allah to protect both her father and her husband. And she would say, I fear a day in which I will become an orphan, meaning her father would die, or my children would become an orphan, meaning her husband would die. What a very stressful day and stressful days Zainab, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, went through. The battle occurs and the battle happens and fierce fighting among the Muslims and the disbelievers until it ends with victory given to the Muslims. 70 of the mushrikun are killed and they are laying dead on the plains of Badr. And most of Quraysh escaped and ran away, but 70 of them were caught prisoners. 70 were caught and they were taken from Badr and transferred to Al-Madinah. And when those who were saved from the battlefield of the mushrikun, those who were able to run and escape, they got to Mecca, and Zainab of course is on the outskirts of Mecca. She's asking, what happened? What happened? Who won? Who lost the battle? What happened to my father? What happened to my husband? They came to her and they said, oh Zainab, the Muslims were victorious and your father is all right. He dominated and he took victory in his hand. She said, what about my husband? They said to her, he's from among the 70 prisoners. He's in the capture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's panic that is laying in their hearts. What are they supposed to do? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina hasn't made his decision, what is he going to do with 70 prisoners? So he begins to consult his sahaba radiallahu anhum. He begins to do shura with his sahaba. Sahaba, what do you reckon? What are we supposed to do with 70 prisoners of the mushrikun we caught? Some of them said we should kill them all. Some said, Ya Rasulullah, let them pay money to release themselves. Al-fida, let them pay and we'll release them that way. Until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was convinced that he was going to take by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's opinion and some other sahaba, and that is that we're going to, yani they're going to pay money in order for their freedom. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends out a message and it reaches Mecca. And so everyone that has a relative from those 70 that were captured, they were basically commanded to take the wealth with you, take as much as money you can and go to Medina and pay it and you'll get your relative back. Wa subhanallah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to free the prisoners. And he freed them in two ways. One way was that a relative would come and pay money, and if the believers are happy and they're pleased with whatever amount is coming forth their way, they would release the prisoner. And the other way was that and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, if you can't afford it and no one can pay to free you, then if you're learned, teach 10 sahaba how to read and write and you'll be released. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how concerned he was in education. That's his concern, that he's willing to free a prisoner if he teaches 10 sahaba of those who are illiterate how to read and write. So the people and the relatives from Mecca began to flood into Medina and everyone is carrying whatever they have of worth. Zainab radiallahu anha, she sends her brother-in-law, which is the brother of Abu al-Aws. His name was Amr ibn Abi al-Aws. She puts something in a bag and she ties it and she gives it to Amr ibn al-Rabi' and she says, this is supposed to be paid to Rasulullah in order to free my husband. You see, subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at his justice. It doesn't matter, even this is my daughter, this is my son-in-law, we'll let him go. No, there's none of that. This is the justice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would implement even in his own household, even in his own family. So Amr ibn al-Rabi', he arrives to Medina with a bunch of other people that came from Mecca to come and free their relatives and their beloved ones. And everyone put their money and their wealth in front of the companions. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to count. He'd pick up one box, he'd count it. Okay, who's this for? This man? Sahaba, are you pleased? Is this enough for him? Yeah, we're happy. Let him go. Let Allah go. Next one. What do you got? This much? Okay, who's this for? Your brother? Yeah, it sounds good. Allah, go. Take him back to Mecca, one by one. Until the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets to a bag that is tied. He opens it and he draws out from it a necklace. فَخَشَعَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He was overtaken by emotion. He was overtaken by sadness. His heart began to moan. He began to tear and cry. And he took the necklace out. فَتَذَكَّرَ خَدِيجَةَ وَتَرَحَّمَ عَلَيْهَا. He began to remember the days with Khadija radiallahu anha. And he began to cry. And he began to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon her. This is Khadija, his beloved wife. She was the first one to accept Islam with him. She was the one to comfort him when there was no one to comfort him. The year she died in one day. But the entire year was labeled as Aam al-Huzn, the year of sorrow and the year of sadness and grief. So it affected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the point he began to cry. And he looked at the companions around him, and they were also shocked, and they were in awe as well. And they began to cry for the crying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they couldn't understand what was going on. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the Sahaba, هَلَّا رَدَدْتُمْ لِهَذِهِ أَسِيرَهَا. He said to them, would you return? He's, يعني subhanAllah, he's even consulting his Sahaba radiallahu anhum in an issue that is very personal. It's a family issue. He said to them, would you return Abu al-As, my son-in-law, back to her husband, or back to her wife, back to his wife, Zainab in Mecca? It's up to you. If you do that, then I love that. And if you don't, it's up to you. It's your call. They said, Ya Rasulullah, do it. We don't object. Send him back to Zainab radiallahu anha. For then he says, and if you also give me permission, can I return this necklace back? Because this necklace is full of memories. This is my wife's necklace. And I witnessed the day she gave it to Zainab during her marriage. And it would be more beloved for me that this necklace also goes back to Zainab radiallahu anha. She's poor in Mecca, she has nothing. She searched for the most valuable thing she had, and it turned out to be this necklace. So he said, they said, okay, do that. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Abu al-As to the side. And he said to him, oh Abu al-As, give this necklace back to Zainab and say to her, la tufarriti fil iqd. Don't give this necklace away. Take care of it. Treasure this necklace. And he said to him, Abu al-As, you've been a good man with us. And I will return you to Mecca on the condition that when you get there, you need to send Zainab back to me in Medina. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down a law that it is not allowed for a male mushrik to remain with a female believer. That can't happen anymore. Back then it was allowed. Right now it's not allowed. So go back, take the necklace, give it to her, and return Zainab to me in Medina. So he agrees. And he arrives in Medina, he arrives in Mecca, and as soon as he arrives, Zainab is very happy to see her husband back again, the father of her children. And he says to her, you need to pack up and go back to your father. You can no longer stay with me, and I promised your father that, and I'm a man of my word, and you have to pack up and go. So she was upset. She said, why won't you accept Islam? He says, I'm not ready for that. You have to go. So she packed up her bags, and she took her daughter, Umayyah, still young daughter, and she took Ali, her son, and at the same time she was pregnant as well. And Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', he commands his brother, Kinan ibn al-Rabi', to take Zainab until they reach the outskirts of Mecca. And over there is Zayd ibn Haritha, and he is going to lead Zainab from there until they reach al-Madinah. So Al-Kinan ibn al-Rabi', the brother of Abu al-As, he gets a camel, and the camel had a hodash on top of it, which is like a house that they build on top of the camel, in which the woman usually would stay inside. That would keep them in shelter and comfort and so on, give them their privacy. So he led his camel, and he said to Zainab, get inside of the hodash. She got inside, and she has Umama in front of her, her daughter, and she has Ali behind her. And Kinana ibn al-Rabi', he began to lead this camel during the day. In the middle of the day, he's leading this camel, and he's going to the outskirts of Mecca, so that he gives this camel to Zayd, so that he can continue the journey to Medina. And as he's leading the camel, subhanallah, there was a man by the name of Al-Habbar ibn al-Aswad. Habbar ibn al-Aswad. He saw this sight, Zainab leaving, and he got so angry. How can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defeat us? humiliate us, take our prisoners, and then demand money to free them. And now his daughter is just going to walk out like that with no consequence and no pay for that. That's not going to happen. So he grabs a spear and he follows this camel and he begins to poke the camel with his spear. And he poked it enough times that the camel got injured and it fell. And as it's falling, Zainab radiallahu anha inside this house on top, she began to scream and cry. And she fell from this house and she miscarried her fetus that was inside of her womb. And she was in a pool of blood and she's crying and she's carrying her daughter Umama, and her son Ali is with her as well. And Kinan ibn Rabi', he had a quiver with him with 20 arrows. And he said to Quraysh and those in front of him, he said, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, you get out of here, all of you, or I'm going to remain until I put each arrow inside of you all. And then if all my arrows are finished, I'm going to fight you with my sword until I die. Move. And so Abu Sufyan, he saw this entire episode. He saw what's happening. And he's from among the leaders of Quraysh. So he runs to the scene. And he says, oh, Kinana, please keep us away from problems. Put your arrow and your sword away and let me talk to you. Ya Kinana, the people of Mecca are so upset and they're fuming and they're frustrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defeated them, killed 70 of them. And now you're just going to take his daughter like this, walk out with nothing? People aren't going to accept that. Go back. And when it's at night, take her at night when no one can see. When everyone is asleep, take her at night and that way she'll leave. But not now during the day. So she's bleeding profusely and she is in need of medical treatment. So they take her to the house of Abu Sufyan. And his wife, Hind bint Utbah, she begins to treat Zainab radiallahu anha. And as the night approaches, and the other night approaches, Zainab has no idea what to do, how she's going to leave. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Zayd ibn Haritha, and he gave him his ring. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his ring off, and he gave it to Zayd. And he said, it'll help you, go to Mecca, it'll help you get my daughter. When Zayd got to Mecca, he's on the outskirts of Mecca, he doesn't want to go in. He sees a shepherd who's taking care of some sheep. So he says to him, who are you? The shepherd says, I'm a shepherd of Abu al-Aws. He says, who are these sheep for? He says, these sheep are for Zainab radiallahu anha. He says, good, you know Zainab. Take this ring to her and show her this ring. So the shepherd took the ring and he gets to Zainab radiallahu anha and he gives her the ring. She looks at the ring and she automatically recognizes and realizes this is her father's ring. So she says to the shepherd, where did you get the ring from? He says, I got it from a man waiting outside. She says, then take me to him the next night. So when the next night approaches, Kinan ibn Rabi', he puts Zainab back onto the camel with her daughter and son. And he leads the camel until they reach outside of Medina, Mecca. And that is where Zayd bin Haritha, who was the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the camel and he led the camel until he reached Al-Madinah. He reached Al-Madinah and she reached to her beloved father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said to Rasulullah what had happened to her when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sad for that and he got angry in terms of how they treated her as she was leaving Mecca. And she remained in Medina for 6 years. And during these 6 years, a lot of the companions would come and they would seek her hand in marriage. And she would refuse. She'd say, no, not interested. I'll wait for my husband. So subhanAllah, the love and the loyalty she had for her husband. And I ask, where did Zainab radiallahu anha learn this from? She learned it from her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was loyal and she loved her husband. But the only thing that has separated them is the iman, the aqidah that they believe in. One is a Muslim and the other has chosen to remain upon his disbelief. 6 years go by. She remains in her house in Medina, not interested in anyone. And after 6 years, Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' was again on a journey and on travel to Asham. And he was in Asham doing some trade and business. And as he's leaving Asham to go back to Mecca, a battalion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent from Al-Madinah. They go out, this is like a sariya. A sariya is a group that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends, so that they go check up what's happening, or either go to war or whatever it is, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not with them. That's a sariya. They get to this caravan of Abu al-As. They stop the caravan. They've just taken the 100 camels and the 200 men, and Abu al-As and a few men with him manage to escape and run away. And as they're running away, Abu al-As, he thinks, where am I going to go? Mecca is too far, Medina's close. And so he says, I'm going to turn and go to Mecca. I'm going to go to Medina. I'll go to my wife. I'll go to Zainab radiallahu anha. He gets to Al-Madina. He's a fugitive now. He's ran away. He gets to Al-Madina and he waits until it's nighttime so that he's not seen. And he gets in and he asks, where's Zainab's house? Where is Zainab's house? They say her house is there. He runs until he gets to her house. He knocks the door, and after 6 years they haven't even seen each other. Zainab radiallahu anha opens the door and she says, Ya Abu al-As, ajita musliman? Oh Abu al-As, my husband, have you come as a Muslim? He says to her, unfortunately no, but I'm coming and I'm seeking asylum with you. I'm seeking political asylum with you. You need to understand something, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina, a very short while after, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a constitution. It's called Sahifat al-Madina, Dustur al-Madina. He wrote a constitution. And from among the constitution was that if any member of Al-Madina was to say that such a person, whoever it was, a stranger, a disbeliever, whoever it was, if a member and a citizen of the Muslims of Medina said that this man is under my protection, then no one is allowed to touch him, no one is allowed to harm him. So he comes, Abu al-As, he comes to Zainab, and he says to Zainab, he speaks to her, seeking asylum and protection. And Zainab radiallahu anha, this is at Fajr time, at Salat al-Fajr. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praying Fajr. And Zainab is praying with them. As soon as the Salat ends, she gets up, she walks in between the lines of the Muslims, the women that are standing in the back, and she screams out, قَدْ أَجَرْتُ أَبَا الْعَاصِ بْنَ الرَّبِيعِ قَدْ أَجَرْتُ أَبَا الْعَاصِ بْنَ الرَّبِيعِ. She screams out and she says, Abu al-As is in my protection. Abu al-As is in my protection. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the salat and he's got no idea what's going on. He turns around and he says to his sahaba, هَلْ سَمِعْتُمْ مَا سَمِعْتُ? Did you hear what I just heard? They said, yes. So he gets up and he says, Wallahi, I have no understanding or no knowledge about what's happening. Yani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to explain to his sahaba, don't accuse me of anything. I'm not into this. I got no idea what's happening. I don't even know my son-in-law's here. I got no idea. Yani subhanAllah, al-bayan yatrudu al-shaytan. Sometimes when you're in your position in where there's a lot of doubt and misconception and suspicion about you, and it's not true, get up and explain yourself so that you remove the shaytan from that gathering. So he gets up and he says to his companions, I just heard what you people heard. I had no knowledge. وَإِنِّي قَدْ أَجَرْتُ أَبَا الْعَاصِ. And he says, إِنَّا قَدْ أَجَرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْتِ. He says to the people, O people, my daughter Zainab, I have given protection and asylum to the one who you call protection for yourself. And so Abu al-As is now living peacefully and in safety here among the citizens and among the community of Al-Madinah. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to Zainab and he says to her, oh Zainab, akrimi mathwah, take care of him, be generous to him. If he's far away from you, then he's your cousin. And if he's a close relation to you, then he's the father of your children. Be generous to him, honor him as a guest, But do not do what the husband and wife do with each other, because that is haram upon you. She says, okay, no worries, my father, understood. And so a few days go by, and Abu al-Aas comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he explains his mind, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, give me permission to leave and so on, because he's on asylum. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathers his companions, and he says to them, Wallahi ma dhamamnahu sihra. He said to them, my companions, by Allah, I'm taking an oath by Allah, I have never seen a bad side of my son-in-law, Abu al-Aas ibn al-Rabi'. وَإِنَّهُ حَدَّثَ فَصَدَقَنِي. He spoke words, and he basically trusted on my words. وَإِنَّهُ وَعَدَنِي فَوَفَّى. And I gave him, and he promised me that he'll return my daughter. And he did that. He executed his promise. And it is more beloved to me, I'd love that you release Abu al-Aas, and you release also the wealth and the caravans that you seized and you took. That's more beloved to me. So subhanAllah, the Sahaba, they look at Abu al-Aas, and they said, Ya Abu al-Aas, why don't you accept Islam? If you accept Islam, all this wealth that is for Quraysh is yours. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to his companions, look, it's more beloved to me that you release Abu al-Aas with the wealth. It's up to you. However, if you decide to keep the wealth with you, then that's your money, and I cannot say no to you. You can take it and enjoy it. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, the incredible justice that he lived by. For the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said, oh Abu al-Aas, accept Islam, and all this money is yours. He said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُمْ. He said, what a horrible thing you say. I wasn't going to do this. How would I do this? What kind of picture will I paint for Islam? What would Quraysh say about me over there? That this guy, he stole our money and he took off. So he said, no, I won't do that. For they said, okay, go. Ya Rasulullah, we would do what you want and what's beloved to you. So Abu al-Aas was released. He took the caravan and all his wealth, and he got to Mecca. As soon as he got to Mecca, they're all happy, of course. Their caravan has arrived. And he says to the people, oh people, come and take what I owe you. So everyone came. He's your 20%, he's your 5%, he's your whatever it is, you go take everything. He gave everyone whatever they own. Whatever they owe and what belongs to them, he gave it all out. And he said to them, Ya Quraysh, هَلْ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي شَيْءٍ. Oh Quraysh, do I owe anyone anything? They said, no. جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. May Allah reward you in goodness. You are so generous to us, and you are an honest man and a reliable man with us. So he said to them, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And he accepts Islam. And he said to them, Wallahi, what prevented me from accepting Islam when I was in Medina is the fact that you would say, look at Abu al-Aas, he stole and he ate our money, and he went and accepted Islam to live a life of comfort and a life of a king. So he says, I came back and I gave everyone what they belong. I have nothing with you all, and I accept an Islam. And he automatically, immediately turned back and he went to Al-Madinah. He got to Al-Madinah and he came in and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I came to you yesterday and I sought your protection and you gave me that protection and you released me and you released my wealth, and this is what I did, and now it's time. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness and testify that there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah, and that you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he accepts Islam. And he says to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, would you give me permission to go back to my wife Zainab? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, come with me. And he walks with him until he reaches the house of Zainab. He opens the door and he says, Zainab, this is your husband Abu al-Aas, and he's sought permission, he's accepted Islam, and he sought permission from me that he wants to be again your husband. Would you accept that? And just like 20 years ago, how she turned red and she was all shy, full of modesty. She did that same image again, and they became husband and wife again, and they were reunited, and they lived again with their children, Umama and Ali radiallahu anhuma. But sadly, this relationship wasn't meant to last for long. A year goes by, and Zainab radiallahu anha, she passes away. And she died from the pain that was inside of her the day that she miscarried her child, that had a lot of strain on her and a lot of stress on her body, and a lot of pain was experienced from that. And the day she died, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was moved to tears the day she died. And it affected him so much that he said to the woman, wash her 3-4 times, 5 times, shroud her. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered her grave, and he put her inside of the grave himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he came out from the grave, he was seen crying, an unusual crying, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the companions, they came to him and they said, Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong? We've never seen you cry like this. He said to them, Tadhakkartu Zainaba wa da'faha, فَسَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْهَا. He said, I remembered Zainab and her weakness in the last stages of her life, and I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy upon her in the grave. And Allah azza wa jal did that for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after this, Abu al-Aas ibn al-Rabi', he came to Rasulullah and he'd say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاللَّهِ مَا طِغْتُ الْعَيْشَ بَعْدَ زَيْنَبْ. He said, O Prophet, I cannot live after the death of Zainab. And every time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see him crying, he'd come to him and he'd comfort him. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also cry with him as well. And the Sahaba experiencing unbelievable emotion from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But subhanallah, their daughter, Umama radiallahu anha, at that time, just before this, Ali radiallahu anhu passed away, which is the boy that Zainab radiallahu anha gave birth to. And Umama radiallahu anha, after Zainab passed away, she grew in the care of her father Abu al-Aas. And 4 years after, tragically as well, Abu al-Aas ibn al-Rabi' passes away. And they leave off a young daughter, a young girl, and this is Umama radiallahu anha, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved so much, because every time he saw her, she reminded him of his oldest daughter, Zainab radiallahu anha. To my brothers and sisters, you just think of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, when we think of him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he actually did go through so much, more than what you and I even went through. And there is no unique situation that you and I have except that he experienced. His wives died in his life. All his daughters died in his life except Fatima. She died 6 months after that. His boys died in front of him as well, and they were still young. His son, Ibrahim, 2 years of age, dies. His people in Mecca rejected him. So much he went through, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, subhanAllah, even to the point when they were in Mecca, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preaching Islam, Quraysh came and they said to other members of Quraysh that had married the daughters of Rasulullah, the two sons of Abu Lahab, Utba and Utaybah, had married two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which were Ruqayya and Kulthum. They came and they said, listen, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling to Islam, you know, and you're distracted by his message. Ya Quraysh, you're the ones who took his burden. Divorce his daughters and give him his daughters so he can live a stressful life and he's burdened by them. And so Utba and Utaybah, they divorce Kulthum and Ruqayya, and they are given back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, subhanAllah, any father or mother here that have a daughter that is divorced living with them, they understand how difficult that is. And so Quraysh, they said, divorce the daughters of Rasulullah and give him, throw him back to him so that he's distracted by them So then that way you won't hear about Islam and his message. He'll be too busy with them. And when they came to Abu al-Aas just to understand how much loyalty and love he had for his wife Zainab, they said to him, Abu al-Aas, divorce Zainab and give her back to Rasulullah. He said to them, Wallah, and they said to him, if you divorce her, we'll give you the best of women you want. We'll marry you to the best of women. He said to them, Wallahi, ma li biha nisa'u dunya. He said, Wallahi, if you give me the best woman in the world, I will not divorce her. What did she do to me? She's my wife, and she's the mother of my children, and there is love between me and her. Why are you destroying this family for? And he remained upon his word. That's the love and relationship they had. Fa, يعني, subhanallah, at the end of it, as we said, Abu al-Aas dies. Umama bint Abu al-Aas, she's raised now. She's in the care of her grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in some narrations, authentic narrations, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would come out as he's praying and he's carrying Umama in his salat. And when he'd go in ruku', he'd put her down. And when he'd go in sujood, he'd put her down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gifted a necklace. And he says, today I'm going to give this necklace to the most one who I love. And so all the wives of Rasulullah, they said, ذَهَبَتْ بِهَا بِنْتُ أَبِي قُحَافَةَ. They said that Aisha radiallahu anha is going to get it because he loves her. فَإِذَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he calls on Umamah bint Abi al-Aas and he puts it on the neck of يعني Umamah, his granddaughter, صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. Subhanallah. And then of course, يعني after this, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he passes away, and Zainab رضي الله عنها, she grew, and eventually she got married to Ali رضي الله عنه after the death of Fatima رضي الله عنها during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. My brothers and sisters, this is the story of true and incredible love that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam expressed, that his daughter, his family, Zainab radiallahu anha, even learned from her father, salawat rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that was him when it came to his family. He was moved to tears. He remembered his wife and he began to cry in that very emotional moment of the necklace. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, besides what he was and the warrior he was, and besides that, all that he faced of trial and tribulation or whatever it is, he still had that side of love and mercy and gentleness in him. Alayhi afdalus salati wassalam. You know, just one story on this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when there's difference of opinion whether Mary al-Qibtiyya was a wife of his or she was the slave girl of his. But anyway, she gave birth to his son Ibrahim. And Ibrahim, Adha radiallahu anhu Ibrahim, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to understand the incredible love and mercy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds in his heart. Ibrahim, his son, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send him to Awali al-Madina. This is about 3 kilometers from al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And over there, his son was nurtured by a woman named Ummu Saif. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from time to time, look what he used to do. He used to take a journey from Medina, from the Masjid al-Nabawi, until he reached the house of Ummu Saif. And her husband Abu Saif, he was a blacksmith. A lot of smoke is being generated in the house and so on. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come and he'd say to him, he'd say, Abu Saif, stop. And he'd stop. And then he'd enter inside the house. He'd carry his 2-year-old boy and he'd kiss him and he'd return him to Ummu Saif and then walk again all the way until he reached the Medina. That's almost 6 kilometers. For what? Just to go and see his son, who doesn't understand yet, is still young, underneath the age of 2. And he goes and he takes this entire journey to kiss his son and come back to Al-Madinah. Fa subhanallah, what an incredible human being, what an incredible prophet that was sent to mankind. This is the meaning of لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. My brothers and sisters, read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find incredible moments. Teach it to your children, learn it, and adhere by it. There is nothing And there is no better example than the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The companions themselves, they used to say, كُنَّا نُعَلِّمُ أَوْلَادَنَا الْمَغَازِي وَالسِّيَرِ كَمَا كُنَّا نُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْآيَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. They used to say, we used to teach our children the battles and the wars of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we used to teach them the seerah of Rasulullah like we used to, listen to how powerful this is, like we used to teach them the ayah from the Qur'an. Yani an ayah from the Qur'an is memorized. So the seerah was memorized, just like the Qur'an was memorized. Because when you have the seerah, you have a deep understanding of who your Prophet was, and you'll be able to lead an example of that which he led and set for mankind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow his mercy upon us all. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to forgive our sins, to accept this gathering. I ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate your ranks and your stages in the paradise. And I ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people of the sunnah. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا for your attentive listening. And inshallah, I look forward to seeing you one more time again, inshallah, probably next year or so on. Just like an event like this, very beautiful event. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the organizers, and may Allah azza wa jal reward you all immensely for you coming and participating in this event. Jazakumullahu khairan once again. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.